Welcome to Forks and Corks, a podcast featuring some of the best of Napa Valley for foodies and wine lovers alike. I'm Candace Ledlow, your host. Today we're headed to Brasswood Estate. Brasswood is vast. It's located along the Silverado Trail, just south of St. Helena. Brasswood Estate is more than a winery. It's a destination. There's a full bar, restaurant, bottle shop, bakery, and of course, the winery. The wines are produced inside the caves. Stacia Dowdell is the winemaker. She takes us inside the caves. We enter the caves and head down the cavernous tube toward the library. The caves are 17,000 square feet. As you walk inside, you will notice racks of wine barrels of vintages by well-known winemakers, Russell Bevans, Philippe Melka, Rosemary Cakebread, and consulting winemaker Angelina Mondavi. Stacia's love is Cabernet Sauvignon.
It's just my palate. It's what I crave. It's what I want to drink all the time. Not that there aren't other great wines out there, the Chardonnays, the Pinots, they're beautiful, the Syrah even, but there's something about Cab. There's something about the balance of the tannins, the intensity, the aromatics. It just won my heart over so many years ago, probably back in the late 90s. I like my Cabernets really rich and intense. Not a lot of residual sugar on mine, just balanced, I think. And the intoxicating aroma, the soft, supple tannins. Some of the wines will age for a very long time, and opening them up year after year and tasting how they evolve is really quite fascinating.
Well, I started this project back in 2010. And I had just gotten out of Fresno State with a degree in enology, studied viticulture while there. And I came to the Napa Valley to make the best Cabernet Sauvignon I could. That's always been my passion, Cabernet Sauvignon. And I had the experience, the background to make the wine. And we brought Angelina Mondavi on as our consulting winemaker to help us bring it to the next level.
Yeah, I started last year and was the first harvest working with Stacia and the team.
That's Angelina Mondavi.
I have a couple of brands. One is Dark Matter that I've been actually making since 2005. And I was just making it at another facility where I was working for them. And then when I actually left to start my consulting business, A. Mondavi Consulting, that's when I kind of pulled all my fruit and everything with me, because I want my stuff to be where I know I am a lot of the time. So, and this is like the perfect facility, being a custom crush facility and not just harboring and making Brasswood here, but also being able to make other high-end brands. It's a perfect location.
So what makes it so perfect?
The fact that we have one of the largest caves with the ability to actually put the barrels on either runners, so we can actually do a chateau stack, or we can actually just put them on racks. That ability really enables and allows the winemaker to be able to make the ideal wine for them. It's basically this metal tube that goes parallel with the barrels, and you just lay the barrels down on there, and then you stack them almost kind of like a pyramid.
And we're right now in the cave, and is this a built cave, or is it...
Yes. Yeah, this is a built cave.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's 17,000 square feet of cave, so it's pretty substantial. You can get lost.
This is where Marcus Marquez comes in. Not only is he the general manager of Brasswood, he's the matchmaker.
People tell me I'm a good listener, and I spend every day with Stacia for a long time and literally listen to what she was saying. And I also spent a lot of time with Angelina and listened to what she was saying. And when it came down to the wine making techniques and styles, I really thought, wow, this Angelina's history and her schooling and her talent, and then Stacia's history, schooling and talent, you cannot find a better marriage for a Cabernet in Napa Valley. You have legacy, family taught. Stacia's an overachiever, family taught, making Cabernet. And it's like, I mean, I there might be a show about it, because I want the world to see how they interact when they make wine. It's pretty, it's probably not what you think. It's really in-depth and serious and fun, and it's kind of cool.
You only get one chance during harvest to make it right. And so you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, I have to talk out this issue I'm having and try to figure out what's the best solution. And to have someone I can depend on and trust your palate and trust your experience and everything is quite a relief. You know, it's like I'm not just flying solo, making decisions, and then getting to the end of harvest and going, oh, oops, maybe I shouldn't have done that. You know, we have the ability to talk things out and, as you said, really go over what is it we're trying to do? What are we trying to accomplish? And what are the avenues by which we can accomplish that? And really coming to the best solution with two minds. It's good. It's a good thing.
Stacia will go in, or I'll go in, or we'll actually go together and we'll make comments while we're walking through the vineyard. You know, a perfect example was actually walking through the Pinot Noir block this year and talking about the ripeness, but also talking about the seed texture and the tannins that were actually coming out of the seeds this year for the Pinot Noir. And it really allowed us to be able to manage the ferment the way that we want to be able to ensure that we're making the desired wine that Stacia wants.
Well, you know, the Pinot Noir vineyard's in the Russian River Valley. And so Russian River Valley Pinots are elegant and fruit forward. And so to walk through the vineyard and make sure that the fruit aromatics are there and they're present in the wine, I like a more refined, you know, smooth texture Pinot Noir. So as Angela was talking about the tannins, you know, tannin management during fermentation is important. So we adjust a lot of things, but one of them is the punch downs and the pump overs and how you handle the fruit and how delicate you are in handling the fruit. Yeah.
So as you were going through it, was it different this year?
I like to say this year really is mimicking what 2013 was actually like. So what we had was 2013, we had this beautiful heat spell, very much like what we had this year. This year was a little bit more aggressive, but what ended up happening was you saw sugars really developing a lot faster. But what was really unique about this year was even though we had the heat spells, a lot of the flavor development was already there because it had been cooler early on. So it really allowed us to be able to pick the Pinot Noir when we wanted to pick it, not we have to pick it because of the weather. And now we're kind of in this lull, which is great because we're able to empty all the tanks out of the Pinot Noir, and now we get to gear up and really focus solely on the Cabernets, which is actually really awesome. And it makes every winemaker really excited when you kind of get these lulls, because it's almost like a mini vacation in between harvest. But what it does is it rejuvenates the entire team, but then you have open tanks, so you're ready to basically take in as much fruit as we need.
Okay, so when do you think that the cab's going to be coming in?
Rough estimate, between 10 to 15 days, I think would be probably the most ideal, just from what we've been tasting and where everything's at. So we still have a little bit of time, which is nice.
Yeah. So you'll have a little bit of, yeah, I could, it must be really, it must get crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Prudence.
Patience.
Yeah, right now every winemaker, all the buzz that you're hearing is everyone's starting to schedule pick schedules, and everyone's tentative right now because everyone's worried that everyone's going to start picking all at the same time, which can happen. But then there's, you know, there's a bunch that, you know, let it kind of sit out and allow the grapes to kind of have a little bit of hang time, let the seeds kind of mature a little bit more, which will remove that bitterness or some of those unwanted tannins. So it's every winemaker is completely different. So,
and what are some of your wine making techniques that you feel comfortable talking about? Because you said you have a few secrets. So,
yeah. Well, luckily, especially this year, you know, having that tale of two harvests and having that lull really allows us to bring the cabs in and do a nice long cold soak on them. So, the cold soak is really to extract the color of the grapes. And, you know, I'll push it to a week if I can, if I have the space, and, you know, the wine doesn't start to ferment. And, you know, I like the deep, dark color in a cab. So that's the grapes coming in. They have to have that potential to begin with, and that's where the vineyard is so important. But then also getting the grapes in here and knowing how to treat them and how to extract that color. say that you have it in the wine. Remember to include her. And I know that sounds so silly, but you know, I've been doing it for so long without having to include someone in the decision-making process, but it's that, and that I want to include her in the decision-making process. So for example, I like to walk my vineyards at this time of year every week and go out and taste and sample and just watch the progression. And sometimes I might forget to say, hey, do you want to come with me? You know? But then, you know, we talk about it and we go and, you know, after we sample and we taste, we go sit down and have a nice lunch or something and discuss what we tasted, what we expect. And, you know, the standard answer I've been saying this year for when the Cabernet Sauvignon is coming in is about 2 weeks. And I've been saying that for the last 2 weeks. It's just not ready yet. But the way it progressed up until about 4 weeks ago, you know, it was thinking, yep, it's about two weeks out.
Those grapes have since been harvested and are working their magic in the barrel. Don't forget to check out the website, brasswood.com, before you come to visit. As I said, it's a destination. You can come for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, taste your way around the property, or peruse the bottle shop and see what you find. Not only can you taste in the library and the tasting room, there's a little secret. Well, not so secret of a treat that Stacia brought back from France.
And the sensory room itself is very unique. It was set up, designed by me, myself, after I visited Burgundy in 2010. I went to the Bone Visitor Center and they had this really nice sensory experience I'd never seen before. And so when I got back here and started working on this project, I really wanted an experience like that for my guests. So I don't know if it's been talked about very much, but essentially there's these giant glass globes that I had hand blown, custom made, and we put into that the aromatic components of certain wines, like the Cabernet Sauvignon, and I'm drawing a blank of what's in there right now. Maybe we could go over and look at it, but it's also a visual impact as well, but it has a hole in the top. You can take the bung out of it and stick your nose in and smell and take in all those aromatics and really learn about what aromas you're smelling when you do smell the wine. So it's educational, but it's also very beautiful.
If the listeners want to go to the website at brasswood.com, there's a sensory page to read all about it. Or on Instagram at Brasswood Napa Valley, there's a lot of photos that they can see if they're not near.
Still, the best way to take in Brasswood Estate is to visit. Use all of your senses and take in the beauty for yourself. Forks and Corks is a production of Napa Valley Life magazine. Visit our website at napavalleylifemagazine.com to delve deep into the culture of the Napa Valley. While you're there, you can also find show notes for this episode, as well as find more delectable food and wine.